Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his time on earth, he tells his followers that every believer should have an experience like that in their journey. Now, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but my journey hasn't always lived up to that moment. I've wandered, I've doubted, sometimes I've just rebelled against God. So it begs the question, what was my baptism for? Was it inauthentic? Was it a poor attempt at an empty ritual or a rite of passage that didn't stick? What's the point of a moment like that if our journey will still have its struggles? I mean, what is baptism and why does it matter so much to Jesus?
Will you bow your heads today as we prepare for our message? Gracious and holy God, we just praise you and thank you. And we thank you specifically this day for the gift of baptism. And God, as we explore this message this day, in whatever way that you touch every individual heart, whether it's about baptism or remembering a baptism this day, may we be open in the name of Jesus. Amen. He raises the question of baptism, and I share that we begin a two-week series, which I've looked at both of the sacraments of the United Methodist Church. And last week, we took a look at communion, and not only through the message, but in the sharing of communion as we will continue to share in communion monthly at our worship services as one of the sacraments, as one of the foundations of being church. And today we look at the issue of baptism. And the gentleman in our video today raises very good questions about baptism that we'll explore a bit today. I came across, as I was doing some reading about baptism, a book that was entitled, There's Algae in the Baptismal Font. Made me a little nervous. And first of all, I thought, oh, that'd be a horrible thing to go to the font and do the baptism and see there was algae growing on the water. But even, I guess, for me personally and pastorally and theologically, it made me step back and think about what that really would say to us as a church if there was algae growing in our baptismal font. And so reminded me of the power and the place and the position of baptism in our Christian church and how important it is that we not only understand it, but that we be baptized. Today, I consider, as we talk about baptism, to be an instructional kind of experience for all of us as we look again and reconsider the instructions for baptism, because following this service, we have the opportunity, we who feel prepared to be baptized may go out into the front, and whether it's by immersion or by sprinkling, we are prepared to baptize those who have that desire to be baptized this day. Also, it's an opportunity for those of us who have already been baptized to take that moment and pause there and put our hand in the water and to remember our own baptism. I'd like to also offer to those, as we remember baptism, and AJ talked about the sign of water, to remind us of our baptism that out there is a box of what are called shower tags. And I invite families to take a shower tag home. And I'll share with you the prayer that is on there, because when we stand in the shower, as we have that water, not milk, washing down on us, it is a reminder of us to remember our baptism. And the tag reads this way: Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do. Hang on your shower head and let that be your prayer every day as you have an opportunity to remember your baptism. I'd like to share with you a video that was taken this week. As we had shared in preparation for baptism, we did offer those who wanted to come early for instruction that they could come this last week and receive instruction about baptism. And following that time, Pastor Mike spent a little bit of time with those individuals asking them a question. They'll begin by reading a scripture from the book of Romans for us. And then they have some information to share with us as they prepare for their baptism this day. Will you watch their video with me, please?
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?
By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer?
Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his.
For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with.
That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin.
Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
The death he died to sin once for all. But for the life he lives to God.
In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ.
I've become more involved with the church, bringing my family to more services and to help them, to help others.
Connecting with the church and growing and serving.
And then I look to join more services and learn more about Christ.
I will teach people about God.
And I will serve by going on mission trips and sitting out in this community.
One of the questions that was asked of those persons and is asked before we're baptized is why? Why be baptized? Why is that a so essential part of our journey as Christians? And so I'd like to propose three answers to that today as instructional time for baptism. And first of all, it is to follow the example set by Christ. To follow the example set by Christ. Before I read a scripture that addresses that, I'd like to share that this scripture, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, if you are following our 90-day journey as we read through the Gospels, what you will find is if you began on June 1st, that you will be reading this scripture on July 3rd. Now, certainly, we encourage any who have not begun the journey or on another date that to please continue, because we are excited because we have hundreds of people in this congregation participating in this personal opportunity to grow in faith. But on July 3rd, you will encounter this scripture from Mark chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." We know that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and that the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and that Spirit filled him so that he was prepared for his ministry. He was commissioned for the ministry that he would be about. And so we need to remember that within that moment of baptism that Jesus experienced, that there are really three pieces that all of us share and experience at our time of baptism. And the first of all is that we too, like Jesus at our baptism, are claimed to be his child. Just as God said to Jesus, "You are my beloved, you are my son," that is what is said to each and every one of us when we are baptized. You are my beloved, you are my son, and you are my daughter. Also, at that time of baptism, we know that the Holy Spirit came down as a dove. And in baptism, the Holy Spirit comes down and it fills us also, because it equips us and it prepares us, because we are then commissioned to be a part of church and to be a part, be an individual who goes out into the world and who does the work of God. We have banner that reminds us the coming of the dove that came down, the Holy Spirit. And then finally, it was in baptism for Jesus as it is for us. It is a beginning of our ministry. We are commissioned. We are commissioned to go out into the world and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, in all that we say and we do in our life. And so it is a beginning for us to be a part of ministry. It was this beginning, this experience of Jesus, that began this sacrament of baptism. And following the example of Christ provides an answer to a question that we're sometimes asked is, do we rebaptize? Do we baptize again? If I've been baptized once, can I be baptized again? I was baptized as an infant. Maybe I'd like to be baptized when I remember. And within the United Methodist Church, the answer to that is no. We don't rebaptize. Because we know, we believe that Jesus Christ was baptized once. But also we believe that in rebaptizing, it says something about the integrity of God. That first act in our lives was not done properly, was not done enough, so it would need to be done again. No, we don't believe that about God. We believe that God is always holy, always right, always correct. God doesn't have to be redone. So we don't rebaptize. Second thing in a teaching, when we ask why baptize, is why do we do it? Well, we do it because Jesus commands it. And again, if you started your 90-day reading on this journey through the Gospels, on June 28th, you're going to encounter this scripture in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, as it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Baptism is an act for the church. We are sent out individuals to be a part of the church. That first time when the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost, and there were 3,000 people that were baptized that day, and that began the church. That was the birth of the church. And as we continue to baptize through time, we continue to add to the church and add to the work of the church. Baptism probably even says that the future experience or what grows from that moment, that the numbers continue to grow, is probably even more important than what the past story is about baptism. It's about the future of the church. So just as the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus at his baptism, and then the Holy Spirit finally came down as Jesus was resurrected and taken to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to stay with us here on earth and to initiate the church and the work of the church. The Holy Spirit descends on all of us in our baptism as a community as we continue the work of Christ. Through baptism, adults who are committed to Christian faith respond. Also, baptism is for families where, in early history, entire units of the family would come forward to be baptized at one time. Parents, adults, children, infants all came to be baptized together. So some may ask, why do we baptize infants? Infants were baptized as a part of that experience. But I believe that the baptism of infants stands on two important pillars, two very important pillars for me. The first being that in baptizing infants, for me, it's a beautiful reminder that God's grace goes before us, that God's grace is preparing us for faith before we do anything, before we say anything, before we sin or do anything, that God's grace is already at work in our life. So baptism is about the work of God in our lives and in the world. We call that prevenient grace. God's grace is always working before we know it or accept it. And for me, that baptism of that infant in that state of not making the statement or acceptance for themselves reminds me of that beautiful grace of God already at work. And second, as we baptize infant, It's a beautiful reminder to the community that it is a parents, it is a community, it is a family, parents that bring this infant forward to make this commitment for this child within their family. But it's also a commitment that we make as a community together, that we will support the growth and the nurturing of this little child to become a growing disciple of Jesus Christ. And finally, third, why baptism? It's because it designates that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "Now by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments." We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. I think back to my own baptism, and I'm probably like so many of you that I don't remember my baptism because I was baptized as an infant. In fact, how many were baptized as infants here? There were several. I don't remember my baptism. But I think back to this scripture, and it says we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. One thing that I can know for certain is that my parents made a decision to obey the commandment and to have me baptized. And they also wanted to obey that commandment that they would raise me so that I would understand myself as a child of God, and that I would understand myself as the Holy Spirit working within me, and that I would understand myself as having a call in some way all of my life to serve in the world. And I know that because I was baptized and my parents made that decision. My parents made that decision, and it happened in my home church of Central Church, and at that time it was that community that together made that commitment to support me and to encourage me in my baptism, because we all need that kind of community and we all need that kind of support, and God knows that. When we're baptized, God doesn't expect us to be perfect from that moment onward. God knows that it becomes like the anchor to our journey, and from there we journey out. But he also knows that as we're journeying out, that at times it's just a good thing that there's a rope or a tether to that anchor holding on to us, because at times we do stray and we give a tug at that anchor to try to pull away, don't we? Because I know at times in my life, even since I've been baptized, that there are times that I've questioned. There's been times that I've struggled, and there are times that I've been challenged, that I've strayed, but I do know because of my baptism that there's always still this anchor that I'm tied to, and I know it's still there, and it doesn't go away. And every time that I baptize an infant, I remember that visual of God's love and God's grace always being there with us and for us. And I remember my baptism. And I hope that's why you take a tag today and put that in your shower and say that prayer, so that you too can remember your baptism always. Sometimes at times when you're not tugging so hard to get away from that anchor, but maybe there are those times when you are. And you remember through that prayer. Turns out that, as it often does with Jesus, that there's a story behind the story. And one of the stories behind baptism and the baptism of Jesus includes that story of Exodus, when the Hebrew people were living in Egypt. And they were just people living in Egypt. In fact, they were just people, and oftentimes they were just considered to be property. And every day they went to work, and every day they were reminded they didn't have any identity. They didn't have any rights. They didn't have any freedoms. And they were reminded by the lashes that would hit their backs when they were not making enough bricks to keep up with the thriving economy in Egypt. Can you imagine receiving lashes on your backs when you could not keep up with the work and the expectations of your taskmaster? Have you ever come home at the end of a day and felt like you felt nothing, like nothing more than a cog in a machine? Or maybe you felt like those persons who were closest to you cared more about just using you than knowing you. Or maybe you came home at the end of a day when the only voices that were shouting to you and were trying to create the identity of who you are were those voices that were negative, that would beat you down. So God looked down and saw all this happening to the Hebrew people. And he saw that they saw themselves only as slaves and as workhorses, but they had forgotten that they were children of God. They didn't believe that they were children of God, and God decided to do something. So God sent Moses to Pharaoh's court to say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Well, you know the answer. What's the one-word answer?" "No." What was the answer? Thank you. God sent devastating plagues on the nation of Egypt. And eventually Pharaoh relented, and eventually the Israelites were freed, and they walked out of Egypt and to become their own people. And they came down and to the waters of the Red Sea. And then at that point, of course, Pharaoh changed his mind and began to send his armies after them. So God had sent Moses to lead them. Moses put out his outstretched hands across the Red Sea waters, and they parted as the people of Israel walked through on dry ground. And then Pharaoh's armies thought that they could go to the Israelites, so they pursued them, except as they entered those Red Sea waters, the waters came and back, and they swallowed them up. And Israel was standing on dry ground and came out of the water. And after God brought the Israelites out of the water, and they began their journey, they began to wonder again if they counted on the right leader, because they had struggles and they had problems along the way. And they weren't sure. And then they began to hear these voices that said to them, "You're not who you think you are." And it began all over again. But maybe that was the point. Maybe the point was God didn't bring them through the waters because they would be perfect. He brought them through the water because he knew that they would wander and would need an anchor in their story. They needed a tether that would pull them back. Now, baptism for Jesus didn't just look back to Exodus. It also looked forward. For the deliverance didn't just happen at the Red Sea. It happened at the cross with Jesus' outstretched arms. We've been saved from the slavery of sin. And it's not the waters that cleansed, but the waters that are a sign of a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus. And it came up from the grave with a new identity. It's a new us. We're not the old us. Sometimes, even though we're in this journey through that began with our baptism, we may sometimes feel like we're drowning. But God says that's okay. Because remember, I gave you an anchor. And that anchor's still holding on to you, holding on tight. And remember also that you've been renamed. You've been redeemed. You've been reclaimed. We have been adopted as children of God, his sons and daughters. And God has told us that in our baptism, we belong to him.
It's not the waters that cleanse us, but they symbolize a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus and come up from the grave with a new identity of freedom in him.
As we're going to have moments when we're tempted to believe that we're the old us instead of the new us. You're going to have voices screaming at you that say that you're not holy, you don't belong to him, you aren't loved. But you and I are given a moment to step into the waters, to feel grace wash over us from head to toe. Jesus says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Your sins may seem to pursue you, but they've been drowned in the blood of Christ shed at the cross. We've been renamed, reclaimed by Jesus. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We are children of God. Engage in a defiant act of protest against the voices of shame that chase you and tell the world that you belong to him.
Thank you. said, I've been where you've been before. Down every hallway's a slamming door. No way out, no one to come and save me. Wasting a life that the good Lord gave me. Then somebody said what I'm saying to you. Opened my eyes and told me the truth. They said, just a little faith, it'll all get better. So I followed that preacher man down to the river, and I'm changed. Now I'm stronger. There must have been something in the water. There must have been something in the water. And I heard what he said and I went on my way. Didn't think about it for a couple of days. Then it hit me like lightning. Late one night I was all out of hope and all out of fight. Couldn't fight back the tears, so I fell on my knees saying, God, if you're there, come and rescue me. Felt love pouring down from above. Got washed in the water, washed in the blood, and I'm changed. Now I'm stronger. There must have been something in the water. Oh, there must have been something in the water. Now I'm singing along to Amazing Grace. Can nobody wipe this smile off my face? Got joy in my heart, angels on my side. Thank God Almighty, I saw the light. Gonna look ahead, no turning back. Live every day with all that I have. Trust in someone bigger than me. Ever since the day that I believed, I'm changed. Stronger. There must have been something in the water. Oh, there must have been something in the water. Oh, there must have been something in the water. Oh, there must have been something in the water. Blind, but now I see.
Today may be your day for baptism. It's okay. Today may be your day for baptism. It may be your day to remember your baptism. But this is Baptism Sunday, and I hope that all of us may participate.